Hello, this is David, Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome
Hope
to
you're
our
all
show.
Well.
Yeah, we certainly are. We're very excited to be here today.
Alive and kicking. We've got a really, really exciting presentation today. We want to talk about a whole lot of things that are dear to our heart, our vision. We're going to be talking about soul. We're going to be talking about the Super Consciousness Project. And our vision for the future.
And our latest happenings and things we've been up to, and just the Super Consciousness Project. I remember this morning I was walking Lana's daughter to school this morning, and I'm thinking, I'm doing the Super Consciousness Project today, and I'm like, I'm barely even conscious as it is, first thing in the morning, walking two dogs and her daughter to school. But now we're going into the Super Consciousness, right from physical.
That's right.
Waking
after two Red
state.
Bulls.
Right.
So, where do we start? My goodness.
I guess we should say that we did the Conscious Living Expo over the weekend.
Very exciting. Met so many interesting people, you know, and we brainstormed so many different ideas. It's just wonderful to be in a place where everyone is spiritual and everyone is thinking about new ways of being. It's just so incredible.
Yeah, we spoke in front of a group about universal soul love and what we're doing, which is what we decided to do today. Last night we had a really good interview with Nancy McMonagle of the Monroe Institute, who's also her partner is Joseph McMonagle of Operation Stargate, very popular author and remote viewer. So we're
Boy, was that exciting!
That was an excellent, excellent interview, and we're really excited to try to put that out next week. We're also on Dream Visions 7 Radio, which comes up in 2 hours, and I believe our interview with Aboriginal leader Bill Awara will be on. If anyone's interested in listening to that interview, that's DreamVisions7Radio.com.
So that's Universal Soul Love expanding.
Yes, and we're doing very well there. We've gotten lots of likes. That radio network is excellent. Out of Boston, my hometown, my home city, show's doing really well. I'm really appreciative to be on their network.
Well, I guess that just shows how evolving, how people's consciousness is evolving, how people are becoming more and more interested in spirituality. And, you know, the shift is really, really shifting people's consciousness.
It is, and we're noticing a lot of collaboration between groups. We've spoken with Michael Tellinger and, you know, his ideas with the Ubuntu Party, and we're talking with a lot of people and a lot of friends in our network and trying to keep up with everything, but there's a lot of exciting developments. So I think today we would talk about...
Maybe first of all, if we talk about our soul.
Soul,
the four principles of universal soul love before we go into the Super Consciousness Project.
Absolutely.
So, first of all,
the soul is where it starts.
That's
where
right.
It all originates.
I wanted to say that universal soul love. Really, the reason we chose universal soul love as as our theme was that we really wanted something that encompassed all our visions and our belief systems together.
And we did this in Los Angeles in January with Lynn Rose. Who actually helped us come up with this concept when we were building our video series, which we're still working on getting out there. But Lynn's working hard on that. I'm very appreciative for her help with soul. So
we see universal soul love as a concept that the love is unconditional, and not just towards people that are close to you, towards yourself, towards all of humanity, as well as all species and the whole of the earth.
And this is a Buddhist principle. I went to a Buddhist talk last night with an excellent lecturer who talked about this. It's, you know, we're talking about love in such a very different way. And love in the spirit realm or in the higher realms, is in higher worlds, is very different from our concept of love. I do know that. I've sort of been told that. It's sort of beyond our understanding, I guess.
I think giving unconditional love is really hard, though, isn't it? It's something we
for
all
human
struggle
beings,
with.
It certainly is, yeah.
And it's something that involves non-attachment, which is also a really interesting principle. Non-attachment doesn't mean not to be attached, not to love. Non-attachment really means not to be weighed down by any baggage of, I guess, difficulties with someone.
Mm-hmm.
That you are free to love them, but not get stuck on your own needs.
Attachment is really about expectations, and attachment, when it comes to love, actually creates conditions, and it also, in the end, creates disappointment for us as the outcome. And we, as human beings, we write about love, we talk about love, but we're here to learn about it, so that's why we do that. And it's very difficult for us to understand that divine love or higher love that we hear about and that we talk about, but my understanding of it is very limited too, which is why we need to really open our minds and sort of have non-attachment so that we don't have this limited thinking about love and about so many things and about life. That's the matrix. Limited thinking is the matrix, and it's how we've been imprisoned for thousands of years.
So we define universal soul love as the ultimate state of unconditional love towards all sentient beings. It's a state of mind and heart, compassion and wisdom in the Buddhist tradition of heart-mind. And as David said in one of his posts, love is a state of being rather than feeling. It's actually a state of being rather than actually loving someone, you become love.
Yeah, you and I spoke about this. A lot of people talk about being love rather than... it's a very difficult concept.
It's a beautiful concept.
It is.
So our concept, universal soul love, encompasses love towards yourself, love towards your group, your community, all through genders, races, and nations of the world, love of all species, love of the earth and responsibility towards the earth. And ultimately, love and understanding through all the spiritual realms, time, space, and ultimately your relationship with infinity.
Yeah, and this is about love of yourself and you know, self-love and of all things. It's a very different, you know, a way of thinking. And
it's very, very all-encompassing. And I think it's important that we have something which is all-encompassing during this shift where we're evolving to something much higher.
Because this is our power, true. I mean, it's our way of, it's a sustainable philosophy.
Absolutely.
I believe I heard Pure Angel Komi say that once. Love is a bonding and binding.
That's right.
Keeps people united. And
so our four...
It's a form of protection, really.
Oh, absolutely. The four principles of universal soul love that we're going to be talking about is all about raising the collective consciousness of humanity. So this is one of the ways in which we're hoping to help humanity evolve. And we'd really like to be soul, universal soul love, to be seen as a way of reconnecting with your own soul as well as the whole of, I guess, that creation. So going into the four principles of soul, so we thought it'd be really quite good to look at that, soul, S-O-U-L, S as sacred unity of feminine, masculine, sacred sensuality, sex, O as oneness consciousness, U as unveiling of your true self, and L as life beyond life. So we'll go through that quickly. So sacred unity, feminine, masculine, it's interesting that, you know, we've been both attending Tantra classes and where we, Tantra, I think, is really taking off in the West, isn't it?
It's an excellent idea. It's been around for thousands of years, and we're just sort of relearning things that have already been known. And Tantra is more about learning about yourself and feeling comfortable in your own body while being around other people and having healthy, positive relationships with yourself and the world. And
so Tantra really, in terms of tantric sexuality and sensuality and a way of being, is really a way of reuniting the sexes, the male and the female gender, or, you know, people of the same sex, achieving true intimacy on the emotional, physical, and spiritual levels, all of those levels, not just one level.
This is about exploring those deeper levels of the self, I think, and knowing who you are. So this is why all of these principles and soul are interrelated.
And it's a Tantra does use Kundalini energy that we all have within us.
Yes, yeah, that important dynamic, wild energy that is so much a part of the creation of the universe. That so, life force, that essential vital life force.
Absolutely. And the way we see it is that for far too long, there's been disunity between the sexes. And now that we're, a lot of people say we're in the post-feminist era.
In some parts of the world.
In some parts of the world. I mean, obviously it's not complete.
No.
But I think, you know, women have got much greater rights than before. Mm. We still aim to have 100% the same rights as men. However, in many instances in our culture, there's still a great tension and antagonism between the two sexes.
Mm.
And we would like to help people mend and heal that,
mm.
to see beyond that, because really the spirit doesn't have a gender.
Not at all. Consciousness has no gender. Consciousness that is the no self, the idea of no self, the I am, it's just simple awareness. And so everything that the consciousness is full of potential, but in doing that, it attaches all of these things to itself, names, labels, it gives meaning to everything, it creates everything and creates life. So there is no gender at the bottom of it all, and that is the no self. So we are all separate but equal, and that means we are all individual personalities, but we are all equal. Status, money, power, outside of the physical world means nothing really, or even outside of the spirit plane in the essence of consciousness.
So our agenda is to get you to see that there really isn't a gender, and yet to get the genders to unite with yes. a beautiful, powerful force.
Because I think masculine and feminine energy is very important in the physical world, in the material world. It is important because we're learning. We learn from each other, and consciousness chooses gender in life for a reason, for its in pre-life planning and pre-life designs. There's a purpose for genders.
So we'll be talking later on in other sessions about Tantra in more depth, and we have presented speakers on Tantra. The idea is that the genders see each other as part of a sustaining human force, and that two are greater than the one. And in the same way, a family, individuals in a family are greater than just one person or two people.
Because
a whole community is much stronger than just
yes,
a family.
Because relationships is what this is all about, because we are all students and teachers for each other in the school of life. And we need to work together. We need to work together as couples and family members and societies. Otherwise, the human race will never sustain itself.
But we did choose to start off with this because this is the way that David and I came together. I felt that I had a soulmate out there, and I felt that I would be able to better do my work with a soulmate. And in fact, that has worked out. The power of David and I together has been to actually create Universal Soul Love, to be dynamic together and creating talks and connections. So yeah. That really works. The next part of soul, O, is oneness consciousness.
Law of oneness.
The connectedness of all conscious beings, the fact that really there is no duality, there is unity.
Yes, and duality means it's the law of polarity, which means the extremes. It means when we label things as ugly and beautiful, fast and slow, big and tall, these are all simply things we give meaning to. And there is no meaning. There is non-duality. There is only oneness. It's when we perceive that thing that we are separate from other things. And in physical reality, we are separate beings and everything does look separate. But underneath it all, the truth is we are just individual drops of water in an ocean of consciousness. And in my first book that I wrote in 2011, Illusion of the Body, my primary concept was panpsychism, which is the theory that all things have consciousness, all things, even things that we believe are inanimate. And Lana later on came up with the unified consciousness field theory, which relates to the law of oneness. And you can...
Well, I guess the unified consciousness field theory is to do with the fact that we are all connected with like a, how should I put it?
Like a web of life.
Yeah.
Through the energy grid.
An energy, I guess an ethereal energy. We're all connected.
The vital force.
Absolutely connected. And that we all have it, even things that are unconscious. And it took me a little while to actually agree with David that rocks might have consciousness.
That's an old philosophical debate. Do rocks have
consciousness? I guess it depends how you define consciousness.
The intelligence is only one aspect of consciousness, just like emotions are one aspect of consciousness, just like there are so many aspects of consciousness that are not consciousness itself, that are not part of the no-self. Those are things that consciousness creates.
And it's different to human consciousness.
It is. And there's levels of awareness and there's levels of intelligence, and not all things have human intelligence, and that's not the measure of intelligence. In truth, is not our measure of intelligence. It's not the divine's measure of intelligence.
I think there's been quite a few books written about, for example, The Secret Life of Plants is one book about the intelligence of plants.
Which I thoroughly enjoy. And John Baxter is one of my favorite authors, and his ideas were revolutionary. He was a polygraphist who worked for the federal government and ended up hooking a lie detector up to plants in the 60s and ran numerous research studies and became very famous for discovering that plants have life. Plants have thoughts and feelings, and many people believe trees do, but even the smaller plants have thoughts and feelings. And I guess this sort of flies in the face of veganism, and we're both vegans, but
this creates
a problem for veganism, I guess, where I suppose some vegans don't want to believe that plants are also alive and that we're actually, but when we people get upset about destroying the rainforest, destroying trees. People, they're tree huggers. You know, we depend on trees on this planet for oxygen, for our life. And if you kill all the trees, you're basically killing yourself. And that's the idea behind oneness consciousness, is that when you hurt someone else, ultimately you're hurting yourself. There are no enemies. We are all brothers and sisters in the human race. But not only that, we depend on all these other species and ecosystems for our survival. And when you destroy them, you're simply destroying yourself and everyone with you.
So it's basically
there are no enemies.
That's right. And it's just basically good common sense not to destroy the earth.
No, it's good or trees. It's good to respect the value of all life. It really isn't. And again, I get angry and I have my moments where I, you know, have to correct myself and realize that the battles aren't worth it, usually. I mean, I don't know. We're all here to learn anyhow. So
that's right.
And from each other. So I
just wanted to say, I think it was you, David, that you told me that in one of your states of awakening, you were able to connect to the consciousness of a tree. And amazingly, you were able to realize that trees don't think very much of us. In fact, they don't take any notice of us at all.
No, I remember one day I was walking my dog and I touched this evergreen tree near where I lived. And I got this sort of image in my mind and I saw the tree, and it was like the trees around, they weren't that impressed with human beings as impressed as we are with ourselves, with our marvelous technology and the things we've done. The trees were just treated, the trees thought of us as they do all other animals, walking around them and crawling on them. Their branches reached the sky, and it was like they were having a relationship with the creator in the sky, and I could see the energy between the tree and the universal consciousness. It was very, very...
Maybe they're higher up than us. Maybe they've...
Their understanding of life is in their reality is very different from ours.
Interesting.
They're not focused on physical reality the way we are. They have a different perception. And
it's fascinating.
That was a concept you came up with once. I think you called it unlimited perception or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Something, which I think means just opening your mind. And we talked to Nancy McMonagall about this in the work of the Monroe Institute and how our limited thinking is holding us back. And this is so true. And I know my inner guide would say this as well, that it's difficult for some spiritual beings to work with humans in this world because of our limited thinking, because our minds are not open. Our our egos are very much focused on physical reality, and it's very difficult for us to understand new concepts because our head is so full of information that it's difficult for us to see in new ways and in different ways that are unfamiliar to us.
So in some ways we have to shut the intellect down in order to be open to this other information, soul information.
To be open to receiving information from the universe and from spiritual beings that are here to assist us. They can't assist us because our minds are closed and we can't receive this kind of technical information that they have.
And of course, the being connected to the soul means realizing that we come from the source of love. That's really important to recognize that, and that the feeling, the emotion of love does connect us to this. We also wanted to mention that life has no meaning of its own accord, but we actually create the meaning.
This is the idea that consciousness creates everything. There's no meaning in the world. We're searching for meaning. Conversely, everything has meaning unto itself. While we're placing meaning on things, if we place meaning on a snake and we call it evil, the snake's not evil. We're calling it evil. We're giving it an evil label. The snake knows what the snake is. The snake has its own meaning. Everything in the world has its own meaning, not our meaning, and the labels and the definitions that we place on the things in the outer reality, the outer world or external environment, because basically everything is happening within our minds. All the information that we perceive is being collected through our physical senses and through our higher senses, our intuition, awareness, things that are mostly undeveloped in most of us. But these are experiences that are happening in our minds that we're interpreting. Everything that we see outside of us is happening within our minds and being interpreted. And we're giving meaning to all of these experiences. So this is the illusion of life. This is the illusion of reality. And this is what's keeping us stuck in what I call the matrix. That's one reason. There's many reasons why we're stuck in the matrix, but that's certainly one reason. It's our head being full of information. And I think enlightenment is really about emptying your mind.
That's right.
And being open to new ideas and not thinking that we know the truth or that we really know anything, because most of us don't, even I don't. None of us do, even I don't.
So the next principle of soul, S-O-U, U is unveiling of the true self. And of course, that's intimately connected with the oneness consciousness. But getting to know your true self on all different levels. So there's the oneness consciousness, which is so important, but there's also the true self of you as a human individual, being able to discover your passion, discover what it is and the reason why you are on Earth. And maybe Dave would like to say a little bit more about pre-life contracts.
Well, I would. I'd like to say that as you're...
And missions, I guess.
When you're... My belief is certainly I'm a past life regressionist. We've had my past life regressionist instructor on our show as a guest a couple of times, David Quigley of the Alchemy Institute, it's an important piece of my belief system that we come into life for the purpose of learning about ourselves and bringing back information to the collective consciousness, the universal source. I call it the law of expanding consciousness, and it's about personal growth, it's about spiritual evolution, it's about expanding consciousness, expanding our personal consciousness, expanding the consciousness of our higher self, the universe itself is expanding, that's the steady state universe theory, the expanding universe theory, that everything grows. And it does that. It's sort of like the creator experiencing life as human. So reincarnation is part of that. In each incarnation, we come into this life with a plan.
In terms of actually connecting with what that plan is, that's where a lot of people become confused. And we believe that when you actually get in touch with
your thoughts and feelings,
and what you were meant to do and your passion, that's when things really start flowing for you. And interesting enough, it's when you get more connected with the oneness consciousness, that huge, vast
reservoir,
expanse of the universe, when you do that, you are actually able to get more in touch with you as an individual spirit and what your passion is and what you're meant to do on Earth.
Good point.
So meditation and, you know, the ability to see that we are all one, paradoxically, can give you a clearer idea of your own individual identity. Mm. Happiness and love are also connected to that. And what I like to tell my patients and, you know, whenever we talk, do our talks, when you find something that makes you really happy, that fires you up, that's a really good signal. You go with that because that's a sign of your mission. That's a sign of what you're meant to do. We are actually meant to be happy. We are meant to be doing work in areas where our talents lie. And we'll be talking about that later when we talk about, you know, having... forming societies that are no money societies, where everyone does what they are best at.
Michael Tollinger's idea of
Ubuntu and contributionism. Yeah, you know, that the people should be doing what they want to do, what they're good at doing.
Living their passion.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And it's also about determining and understanding your own integrity and what you stand for, the values that you have in this life.
Of course, we've had a lot of guests come on our show and talk about true self, genuine self, authentic self, which is something I wrote about in my first book when I was going through my own awakening and my personal journey at that time in my life. And I had to go through all of that in my meditations. And this is all very... this is real information. This is stuff that really works. This is not stuff that we live this out.
It's very practical.
It's very practical and it's very life affirming. It's very, I wouldn't be here sharing this if I didn't think this was important. So
this is the way to get there, to achieve the high consciousness.
So
the fourth principle of soul, S-O-U-L, L stands for life after life. And we put this in because we think it's just so important for people to recognize that we are immortal beings. There is life after life.
Mm.
When our body dies, we don't die.
I'm convinced of this. After working in hospice, after having out-of-body experiences, after attending a spiritualist church and participating in mediumship classes and listening to them for so long, although there's enough evidence for me to believe that there is an afterlife, that our souls are immortal, we have nothing to worry about. There is no death. Death is an illusion, and that's the first spiritual belief I think everyone should come to accept, because it's a very useful belief. Because once you lose that fear of death, you'll begin living in the present moment, and your fear in life will be much less. I mean, I still have stress, but the fear in life is diminished greatly by knowing that no matter what happens in life, you will get through it and everything will be okay in the end. And I truly believe that. And there's so much going on right now in our personal lives and in the world with the paradigm shift and the global issues. And it's all happening right now. And we need to stand strong and have very strong, useful beliefs to get through it. And life beyond life is a very useful principle for everyone to accept, especially when loss appears. And there's always loss because loss is attached to change. And change is a constant. Change is what happens in every moment. And change is how we evolve. And
so this is really the Buddhist concept of non-attachment as well.
Yes, non-attachment is also one
of my very useful beliefs. But everything is impermanent it's impermanent in terms of the physical body. However, it's permanent in terms of the spirit.
It is. Even our thoughts and feelings are transient. Our moods come and go. Everything changes.
Spirit remains.
Yes, exactly. So
the recognition of this vast difference between the physical impermanent and the non-physical permanent. So, you know, great stuff, really important.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break now, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about our Super Consciousness Project.
Yes, and we're going to do Shambhala.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Lana Love.
This is Detective David Love.
So today we're talking about, we just talked about the four principles of soul, S-O-U-L, and we're about to tell you about our Super Consciousness Project.
Right, which we talked about at the Conscious Living Expo past weekend. And
but first of all, you wanted to talk about some of the principles that, or some of the factors that are driving us to work on this, that is the change in the world and where the world is going to, the various events that are occurring, the spiritual shift.
We're all talking about this, and we all have different ideas about the paradigm shift and about everything that's happening right now, and some of us have more concern than others. We have, you know, we put labels here, and we talk about dark and light, and we talk about light workers and light warriors and activists and whatnot, and how people are dealing with things, and it's all valid, I think. And I just want to, first of all, I just want to thank everyone that supports us and everyone I talk to on the social networks and on Facebook.
It's wonderful to have this community of everyone, like a big spiritual family, supporting us supporting them, this huge, I guess, well of humanity that is becoming so focused on shifting to a higher evolved state.
It's true. We've made a lot of collaborations with leaders of various groups, and they've been very helpful, and we meet with them when we can. With our busy personal professional schedules that we have.
And we've made a lot of connections, which I think are going to be very important in the future.
But all of our connections are valuable, and that's what Universal Soul Love is all about, and I value all of you. I know all of you, you know, at least that I'm able to talk to.
And, of course, we're talking about things such as sustainable living communities, new earth.
Building eco-villages, creating the new earth. This is all about the
Martin
new earth.
Martin Tellinger and the Ubuntu Party, the idea of having communities, society without money, amazing concept.
Which is one solution. And I'm considering a multi-strategy approach to the creation of new earth, which involves people like David Gallup of World Service Authority and the idea of a world citizen. And certainly we always talk to Jonah Bolt and his ideas with free energy generators and things that Alexander Meters with Galactic Connections doing. I know these are people that we regularly mention on this show.
We do stand for veganism, and with all respect to those that do eat meat, because I ate meat for many, many years, still like the taste of meat, but it's about, I guess, respecting life. Touched on the fact that vegetables might.
For me, this is all about, you know, we can't tolerate abuse, we can't tolerate mistreatment of living things.
We did touch
things.
On the fact that plants might also have consciousness, so that does raise another problem.
Again, I'm just talking about abuse. We need to just eliminate. We need to be kind and respect life, period. That's all. And we know what the right from wrong is, and we all have a conscience, so I'll leave it at that for there.
So the Super Consciousness Project. Now, of course, you know, human evolution is being done all the time. More and more individuals are becoming
awakened. Which means that when we say awakened, we mean becoming awakened to the condition of our inner selves, our soul, our thoughts and feelings, and about the world.
But also becoming aware not only of the fact, not only of our divinity and our connection with
our
the
inner
world,
power.
But also being aware of the dark matrix.
Yes.
And this is a bit of a contentious topic, isn't it?
I actually feel Ishmael coming out right now. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling anger welling up in me. Ishmael is one of my inner guides, I guess you could say, and he's the one they call a druid.
He's very much an advocate for humanity, and of course, many of you are aware of the fact that it may well be that humans have been genetically engineered by other beings, and that we may be a slave species. That was the name of one of Michael Tellinger's books. And of course, at the moment, with the banking system and the way our society functions, we are very much slaves. We just work too much. We work so much, we haven't got time to evolve. Mm-hmm. So
I think you just hit a nerve in me. If you'd like Ishmael to speak, I'm sure he'd have something to say about this.
All right.
Rather not. I think I'll keep that that information down for now.
So when it comes to the Super Consciousness Project, what we were envisaging was something that would really contribute significantly to the evolution of the whole of humanity at the same time. And I'd like to mention Carl Jung's idea of the collective unconscious. Of course, it involves archetypes and dreams and things like that. But it perhaps elaborating on Jung's idea even more, I'd like to suggest that with oneness consciousness, all of humanity is in fact united, if you like, in the one almost unconscious consciousness.
All things are united.
And all things, that's right.
Panpsychism.
That's right. Yeah. So what if it wasn't just one or two individuals, perhaps, who become enlightened, who can then lead others? What if it would be possible for several individuals to unite together and bring the rest of humanity up significantly, just like almost in an orgasmic sort of process, all of a sudden allowing humanity to evolve to a much higher spiritual level, right, just like that.
This was an idea that I brought to Lana speaking on Skype before I came to see her in Sydney more than a year and a half ago.
It was something that David got from one of his past lives.
Which, when we talked to Nancy McMonagle last night, we talk about how spirits see past, present, and future in the present moment. There's no separation of time. So even past lives in realities that have already been created, they can come forward into this life. And I have past life guides who work with me. This is a very odd metaphysical concept that many people would not understand. I'm sure most of our listeners would understand this. And so this particular past life, a writer, brought this idea to a spiritualist medium that a channeler or a psychic medium or a trance medium can channel a higher force or a higher energy or spirits, but it can also be done by a group of trance mediums or channelers and channel that same force or higher consciousness.
So I guess this goes back to our idea of that two or three or four are much bigger than one. We talk about that with the sacred union of masculine and feminine, that the two, a couple, is greater in energy than one.
It's greater than the sum of the parts.
That's
not
right.
Only that, it's not just two, it's like two heads are better than one, but it's not a doubling of the mental power. It's exponential increase in power in the creative process.
Of course, David's past life, say his
reference
name?
To him, sure.
Arthur Wayne. So he was very much a very intelligent man who studied metaphysics and was very knowledgeable about the higher consciousness. And so it appears that there is a technique that can be used not with one person, but with several people who are channelers or mediums to channel the higher power of the divine.
And that's not to say that this is his idea, that this is a new concept, or that it hasn't been done. It's just that it's not being utilized to its fullest potential, and we haven't realized the potential for unity, for minds coming together to be thousands of times more powerful. Like with nuclear technology, it's almost like
nuclear blast.
See, this is why spirits,
like a Big Bang, perhaps.
Yeah, it's like this is why spirits find it difficult working with human minds, because our human minds are difficult, and when they try to relay information to me, I'm not a scientist. My brain,
are they finding your human brain a bit limiting?
They get very frustrated by human beings because they can't convey that kind of technological information to me. It's like you speaking Russian to me, and I just can't interpret the Russian language and give it to someone else and explain what you're saying in Russian to the other person. Spirits can't give us that kind of information if we're not able to handle it or we're not able to relate it or understand it, unless they're speaking directly through us, like Seth did with Jane Roberts, it's different. That's very difficult to set up, and that's done through free life planning. Okay.
But we know that Arthur had wanted to do this, and he hadn't. He hadn't actually done that yet.
True.
And so there's it appears that this hasn't been done yet? Or
no, there are groups that have been experimenting with it and doing it. It's not the same as just sending positive thoughts out into the universe.
Of course,
for healing,
meditating,
is excellent.
There are groups that meditate together, and there are groups that, you know, will organize events where a whole group of people around the world meditate together.
And that's fantastic.
But this is similar. This would also raise the problem. But this is something different, isn't it?
And because the second download I had gotten in the Spiritualist Church talk, this was almost a Delta sort of meditation that I was having, and it was talking about working with this dynamic Kundalini energy to really create a mass awakening, the Great Awakening. And it was really, because Kundalini is such an unpredictable, wild energy, and I know Doug, one of our radio producers, talked about his experience with Kundalini energy on one of our first shows as a guest. And we know that this energy is life-changing, and it's very unpredictable. And in fact, the Spiritualist Church that I attended here, I didn't even want to deal with Kundalini experiences. But it's a very powerful, life-changing energy to work with. But channelers, talented mediums, anyone can do this, of course, through practice. But there certainly are experienced people who deal with this stuff all the time, and certainly people who have been on a radio show deal with this.
And we're very much hoping that we'd be able to have a guest on our show very soon who, in fact, does have a whole, spiritual group together that works on the Kundalini energy. And she is an incredible master guru. Mm. She's Australian, and she's actually been able to use this energy to, completely deaden cancer cells in one lady I was talking about. Well, amazing power of this energy.
Lots of people work with the Kundalini energy, and they're very good with it, and there are many individuals. And there are many, like, there are healers like Jesus. There are amazing people in the world who do amazing things with healing and then martial arts, and they use the vital life force in miraculous ways. But anyone can do this, and groups of people can do this.
We're talking about a particular technique that is still evolving, and we're still sort of...
We're talking about creating catalyst groups.
That's right. So, look, what we're like to do, throw it open to our listeners to write into us, to perhaps send us messages on Facebook or email us on what email would they be?
Oh, I don't know. Probably Facebook or...
Facebook would be better? Okay, so anyone who's interested in joining us,
and people already have, many of our guests are interested, and we already work with them. It's a very slow process with everything that we're doing.
So we're wanting to get catalyst groups together, and we're wanting to play with this and to actually find what that technology is, because we haven't quite found it. I'm sure that Arthur will be revealing more and more to us, but this is very exciting, because just imagine. Imagine for one moment that all of a sudden, rather than there being a nuclear blast, all of a sudden Earth gets hit with a powerful blast of psychic energy that evolves all of us instantly into higher beings. Oh, my God, Korea. The North and South Korea would suddenly shake hands and be friends. So would Russia and America. All of a sudden, humans all around the globe would realize the meaning of life, would realize that we are all one.
And of course, energy is hitting the planet all the time, and there are spiritual beings in the universe and species that are assisting us and are doing this. And there are people in our network that I know will say this. And there are groups doing this, similar things already. But there's no reason why we can't do this and we can't continue to do more. There isn't a wet mass awakening happening now because of the paradigm shift itself. But we can continue as light workers and light warriors to facilitate this. Because we are co-creators of the universe, and that is part of the awakening. The biggest part is realizing our inner power, our personal power, and realizing our true nature so that we are no longer a slave species. We are no longer a slave to the system. We can rise above this. We can be happy. We can be powerful, and we are powerful, and we just need to understand this, and we need to take charge and take responsibility of our manifesting power and what we create and take charge of our lives. And we can do this, and we don't need to have the fear. We don't need to fear the economic crisis, which is happening right now. It seems to me, I do have concerns that the global, I have no problem saying that I have concerns about the global, an economic global meltdown and the breakdown of the financial systems and climate change and escalating war.
We urge people to see that there is a positive spin on this, that things are changing. We've got the capacity to actually change our whole civilization for the better. Because if some aspects are going to be destroyed, we can rework the whole thing to work in our favor so that we can establish a culture, civilization, which is pro-life, pro-earth, pro-sovereignty.
Yes. Destruction is part of the creative process. It's part of the clearing. And we can overcome this. We can do this.
We do encourage people to write in to us, tell us what you think. If you are psychic or if you do channel, we'd be very interested in hearing from you. Right. As we said, we're still developing this theory. Arthur's still giving us downloads, but it's very exciting.
This is just Lana and I doing this ourselves and paying for all of this, and we're quite busy, so we do our best. I encourage you to listen to Dream Visions 7 Radio if you want to hear another show in a couple of hours of ours. Very much appreciated.
And we'll have some exciting guests ahead in the weeks ahead. So that's all from us today.
Stay tuned to Universal Soul Love. Thank you for listening in.
Love you all.